Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Ta'kidi Tahrimi Malil Yatim. The chapter on the severe prohibition of devouring, eating, usurping the wealth of an orphan. To understand this, in the time of Jahiliyat, that the orphan had no rights at all. If a person had passed away and he had left a wife and he had left young children, then what would happen is that the wife and those young children would either go to his brother, this person that passed away, to go to his brother, or if there is a big son, it would go to the big son. Now can you imagine, these people had absolutely no wealth, no rights, no status at all before Islam. And when Islam came, every person was given their due right. That small child, that young child, that nabaligh child also, it has its own right, it deserves its own share of the estate. Not that it will go to somebody else, but the child also deserves a share of the estate. The wife also deserves a share of the estate. Everyone's rights are protected. Not only do they deserve a share of the estate, how their share should be taken care of, looked after, the manner, etc. All that Shariat has given guidelines. So beautiful is the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that at a time when there was no right for people, Shariat came and brought rights for every person, and to such an extent that it brought the rights, that Sahaba also now would be very, very careful how they would deal as far as the wealth of the orphans were concerned, the wealth of those that were entrusted with them, how they dealt with it. They became very, very conscious and very careful. This is one of the miracles of Islam, that overnight the rules have changed, overnight the laws have changed, and those people that had no honor, no respect, no regard, suddenly had the highest of regard because of Islam. قال الله تعالى إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سعيرا. Allah Pak says, indeed, those who unjustly consume the wealth of the orphans, they consume only fire in their bellies. They are consuming the wealth of the orphans. What they actually doing is they consuming fire in their stomachs, in their bellies. Very soon they shall enter the fire. Very soon they shall enter the blazing fire. وَسَيَسْلُونَ سَعِيرًا وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and approach the wealth of an orphan only in a favorable manner. If you have to approach and take from the wealth of the orphan, only take in a favorable manner. It must be in the interest of that orphan child. There must be some benefit for that child. It mustn't be such that there's personal benefit for the person that is in charge, for the guardian, and there's no benefit for the child. So this ayat is saying, approach the wealth of the orphan only in a favorable manner. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ وَإِنْ تُخَالِطُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. After these ayats were revealed, this first one, that where a person unjustly consumes the wealth of the orphans, they're actually consuming fire in the bellies. So now Sahaba became very, very worried, very concerned. Now it was, before what they would do is they would use that wealth also and they would purchase food that orphan was staying, that the young orphan was staying with them. They would purchase food and they would share it, etc. But when this ayat came now, they became so afraid, so worried, that we mustn't take more, we mustn't eat more than that orphan's share. For example, if we put 20 rand towards the meal, this is an example, I'm giving 20 rand towards the meal, and now we, the orphan's share is 20 rand and our share is 20 rand, we mustn't eat for 30 rand and the orphan only eats for 10 rand, so the orphan's share is 20 rand. So this started worrying them so much. Look at the consciousness that came into Sahaba. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayats. وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ وَإِن تُخَالِطُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. Allah Pak says, they ask you regarding the orphans, say to them to do what is for their best, what is good for them, what is best for them. And if you mix your affairs with theirs, then they are your brothers. In other words, now if you mix the food and you'll all eat together, then they are your brothers. And Allah Pak knows who means mischief and those who mean good. Allah Pak knows. So then it comes down to the heart. What's in the heart? When a person is doing this, mixing that wealth of the orphan with his wealth, so that the orphan can also participate and can also benefit from eating the food, etc. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the heart. If the heart is good, then this person will benefit. If the heart is wrong, if the niyat is wrong, then there is harm. So this was the ease now that had come to Sahaba. They don't have to be so worried and concerned. If your niyat is right in the interest of this child, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what is in your heart. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات قالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما هن قال الشرك بالله والسحر وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم والتولي يوم الزحف وقذف المحسنات المؤمنات الغافلات متفق عليه. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, refrain from seven destructive things. Seven things that destroy you. Remain, stay away, refrain from seven destructive things. And these are known as destructive sins, destructive things. The Sahaba said, what are they, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, number one, ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, black magic. Number three, killing a person whom Allah ta'ala has forbidden unless for justice. Unless for justice, yes, means for some right reason, this person may have murdered somebody else, now he deserves to be killed. Or a person became a murtad, he deserves to be killed. Or a person now is fighting against the Muslims, etc. Then this person is supposed to, is allowed to be killed. Or for in Islam, for adultery, then a person is supposed to be killed. So these are examples where it is lawful and rightful or right to kill a person according to the Islamic law. The justice system, according to Islamic law, this is the ruling. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that killing a person whom Allah Pak has forbidden unless for justice. So killing a person unless for justice. So these three things, one is a person that has committed adultery, person that has become a murtad, and the other is a person who has murdered somebody, and that person deserves to be killed. Consuming, next is consuming usury interest. Look how serious this is. Consuming interest, something that we take so lightly. A person thinks, I need a house, let me just go to the bank and get a bond. I need a car, let me just go and finance it in the bank. We don't think that how serious. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing this as a sin that destroys. It's a destructive sin. So this is consuming interest. The next is consuming the wealth of an orphan. Consuming the wealth of an orphan. So this one, this part of the hadith fits with the chapter that we're doing. And the next is fleeing from the battlefield. And the next part is slandering chaste, innocent, believing woman. The last one is slandering chaste, innocent, believing woman. In fact, ulama give one explanation to this, that al-ghafilat, al-mu'minat, al-ghafilat. What is meant by this? One explanation is totally innocent. The woman is totally innocent and she is being accused now of being involved in some adulterous relationship or committing zina, etc. Totally innocent she is. So one other explanation ulama gives, al-mu'minat, al-ghafilat, is those women that are so innocent. They're so innocent that they don't even know what is zina. That thought doesn't cross their mind also that to get involved in zina, something that is extramarital. They are so innocent. And another point that ulama bring from this is a praiseworthy quality of a woman, that she remains innocent. Nowadays we think that it is praiseworthy for a woman to be highly educated. Look at the words that the hadith is using, al-muhsanat, al-mu'minat, al-ghafilat. Those women that are totally oblivious of even this. So here ulama explained that this is a praiseworthy quality of a woman, that she remains innocent, she remains pure from all these outside influences. Sometimes we think that it is in the interest of a woman to go to university and to educate herself and to go to colleges and to go for different causes, etc. But the praiseworthy quality of a believer, of a Muslim woman, is that the more pure she remains, the better she is. The more innocent she remains as far as the outside influences are concerned, the better it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal and bringing these beautiful qualities and sifat that Sahaba had, bring it in our lives. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.